Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, hard sayings for the abused. The law of revenge, or lex talionis, dates back to the Code of Hammurabi in the 1800s BC and sought the complete destruction of a wrongdoer. Mosaic law provided an equitable standard which brought the principle of limiting retribution to that which was just. Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 20 says, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused the disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 21, your eye shall not pity, life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Retaliation was limited to the exact injury, no more. The code was designed to ensure punishment fit the crime in civil cases. Governing authorities pronounced and carried out the penalty. Moses' law was not intended for personal retaliation. God gave authority to the state to punish crimes, not individuals. As in other cases, Jesus taught to seek no revenge at all. He was not altering the law, but affirming its true intended meaning, and demonstrated it by his own example. In John chapter 18, verses 22 and 23, John 18, 22, and when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? This teaching of Jesus applies to individual dealings only. God equipped the authorities with power. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Jesus used four examples or sayings to teach his followers how to react to personal abuse. And these teachings are effective for eventually sharing the gospel. First of all, Jesus taught how to react to physical assault. Verses 38 and 39. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Listen, show friendliness rather than seeking revenge. Let me tell you something. A backhand to the right cheek was an extremely serious offense. and to respond with friendliness is to extend grace to that abuse, that physical assault. Second, Jesus taught how to react to legal assault. Physical assault, legal assault. Verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. What is the Lord saying here? Love the one who sues you. Respond to a lawsuit. Let's say, respond to a lawsuit with a personal gift. Be aggressive with real love. Taking control of the situation with a gift. Matthew 7, and verse 12. What we know as the golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do what is right in the sight of God, not what is taught by the world. And third, Jesus taught how to react to unlawful demands. So we have personal assaults, we have legal action, and we have how to react to lawful demands. How to react to lawful demands in verse 41. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This is crucial in dealing with a spirit of bitterness. Because just understand the practice of going 1 mile. When it was the common law in any of the countries, any of the communities that are under Roman rule, that if a Roman soldier came through that town, he had the right to take anyone of a certain age or younger and compel him to carry his gear. But he could only compel him to carry it 1 mile. Well, for the Jews under the occupation of the Romans, this practice was distasteful. It was degrading. How should you handle it? Well, Jesus is saying, go an extra mile. If you're compelled to go a mile, go a second mile. Why? Because that second mile is not a legal requirement. It ends up becoming a gift. And that gift can affect the attitude. Your attitude. And also, the other person is going to be wondering why you've done more than you needed to do. Done more than you've required to do. And it can be the beginning of something new. And then fourth, Jesus taught how to react to help requests. In verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Give generously, not grudgingly, but willingly. Mark chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God to no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do. Committed Christians will do more, demonstrating the difference that Jesus makes in a life. Jesus carries the teaching further, how to live righteously in the face of how your enemies treat you. An enemy, listen, an enemy is anyone who places himself in opposition to you. Okay? With that in mind, that context, an enemy is anyone who placed himself in opposition to you. See what Jesus says in verses 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said to you, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Acceptable service is tested by motive. Christian love, agape love, must be the motivation for ministry. Unqualified and unrestricted love. Anything less than generous, self-denying, other-centered, God-honoring love becomes unrighteous. And why? Because it's basically self-centered. You have heard that it was said. Jesus is addressing another tradition of the Pharisees. How is your love? Apply it to enemies. God loved the sinner. Who is his enemy? So, his redeemed ones must also love their enemies. His argument for unconditional love is presented in verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. The sun rises on both evil and good people, and God does not hold back rain from people because they're unjust. Then Jesus sharpens the lens into clear focus. Love is not real agape love if it's conditional. Verses 46 and 47. Christian righteousness acts in love. It does not react in hatred. Christian ethics are not to be this world's ethics. You know, treating others based upon how they treat you. No, consider Job's words in Job 31, verses 29 and 30. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when my evil found him, indeed, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. Listen, Jesus gave four responsibilities of Christians toward enemies. Number one, respond to your enemies with love. Verse 44, the first part of it. But I say to you, love your enemies. How do you do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And second, responsibility that Jesus gave to Christians toward enemies, respond to your enemies with blessing. Second part of verse 44. Bless those who curse you. Third, respond to your enemies with good works. The third part of verse 44. Do good to those who hate you. And then fourth, respond to your enemies with prayer. The fourth part of verse 44. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, love, bless, do good, pray for your enemies. Again, verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Listen, you can only do this as Christ works through you. Grace. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 is the best description of grace. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, you can only do this as Christ works through you. You can only have the desire to minister to your enemy if God gives you that desire by grace. And you only have the ability to do it, the power to do it, by His grace, if He gives that power. The key is found in Galatians 2:20. This is what it's all about. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to give you a little bit of homework. Just take some time and review how you have responded to your enemies. And remember my definition of an enemy. Anyone who you have found yourself in opposition to, or who has sinned against you. Let me ask you, have you responded to them with unconditional agape love? If you haven't, then I say go make it right. You have a great day.